Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the Church.
The desire to create is one of the deepest yearnings of the human soul. We each have an inherent wish to create something that did not exist before. The more you trust and rely upon the Spirit, the greater your capacity to create.
I'm Nancy Hansen, and this is Everything Creative. This program explores a wide range of creative ideas, talents, and experiences through interviews and group discussions. Welcome to Everything Creative. I'm Nancy Hansen. Today, we're in Nashville, Tennessee, and our discussion today is with Michael Hinckley. Michael, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Michael Hinckley writes songs that sit at the intersection of roots rock and intensely personal poetry. His lyrics expose the wounds of life that are too frequently covered up and glossed over. His raspy voice booms above his fleet-fingered guitar work as he proclaims his visions of life and loss. A native of Omaha, Nebraska, Michael played guitar and fronted groups in the local music scene before he traded the openness of the plains for the majesty of the Rockies. During this time, he wrote, sang, and played guitar for the folk group Engines of Commotion. He toured the U.S., Europe, and Asia, often performing with the premier folk musicians of the locales he visited. Engines of Commotion won the second place prize at the 2010 Telluride Band Competition at the Telluride Bluegrass Festival. Michael currently lives here in Nashville and writes and performs, and you also have a day job as well, is that right?
That is right, yep.
Talk about that.
So I am an IT auditor.
Okay.
And so during the day when I'm not playing music, I work with companies to help them identify the types of risk they are exposed to due to the technology that they use.
So that's good. You've got your regular day job and you're able to play music and pursue that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good for you. Are you married?
I am, yes.
And do you have a family?
No kids yet, but...
How long have you been married?
Just over a year.
And how did you meet your wife?
We actually met at Cold Stone Creamery, the ice cream place.
Really?
We were next to each other in line at a friend's kind of birthday gathering. Mm-hmm. And I just thought she was really nice looking, and I guess that's where it all started.
That's awesome. And so tell us, how long have you been out here in Nashville?
I've been out here a little over a year.
Really? So you're pretty, did you go to BYU?
I did, yes.
And graduated in?
I did my bachelor's and master's in information systems in the business school there.
And were you involved in music there?
I was, yes. I did play for BYU's International Folk Dance Ensemble mm-hmm. For 2 years. And during that time, we played kind of as a backup band for this folk dance group there. And I also... played in a Celtic ensemble at BYU, as well as a bluegrass ensemble. I taught a bluegrass ensemble for 1 year, and also did just, I played with the women's chorus. I played in a lot of groups on campus, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah.
And then as much as possible, you know, outside with friends as well.
So you play guitar.
That's right.
Is that your only instrument, your main instrument?
It really is, yeah.
And how long have you played?
I think I started when I was maybe 10 years old, 10 or 11. I started playing piano when I was 5, and by the time I was 10 or 11, I'd had 3 teachers refuse to teach me any longer. So at that point, my parents said, you need to play a musical instrument. It was kind of an expectation in the family. Mm-hmm. Since piano is obviously not what you want to play, let's pick something else, and I immediately went to the guitar.
Yeah, that's a lot the same as my story. Do you feel like your piano background helped you at all?
You know, I was so young, it's hard to know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I always loved to play the piano or guitar or whatever. I think what a lot of students could use is an instrument or a song selection that's more in line with what their real interests are. And I think that when I was playing piano, I was not really, you know, the material was not exactly what I wanted to be playing.
Right, you're just working through the books, and it gets a little It's a little boring.
I think so.
Yeah. So you picked up guitar. Did you teach yourself? Did you have a teacher?
I have taken some different lessons off and on over the years. When I was younger, I took lessons for maybe a couple of months and then decided that I just wanted to learn it on my own and see what I could pick up. In the last couple of years, actually, and then I didn't take lessons for, you know, several
long
years.
Time, yeah.
And then the last 2 or 3 years, I have taken lessons just to kind of perfect some of the techniques and things that I really want to work on.
Sure, yeah. So let's talk about your decision to move to Nashville. And obviously that was, maybe you chose to come here because a work opportunity came up and it happened to be Nashville, or maybe that was intentional.
It was definitely intentional. I've always had a real passion for playing music. I knew that I wanted to be in an environment where I was around a lot of musicians and I felt like I could collaborate mm-hmm. and be part of a bigger community of musicians. And I feel like a lot of communities, you know, a lot of cities in the U.S., they do have a music scene, but there are very few that have something like we have here in
yeah.
Nashville.
And had you been out to visit?
I had.
Before?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you just fell in love and said, someday I'll be there.
I guess so.
So what do you do here? What's your involvement in music here?
So here, I like to write a lot of music, so I meet up with other people who are trying to become writers and write yeah. with them. And also, I try to perform as much as I can as well.
Yeah, I want to talk about that, you know, co-writing. I know that's a big thing.
It is.
In Nashville. You come here and probably write with people you've never met before. Have you ever had those experiences?
I have. It's different because I always grew up playing in a band where you sat down with a really close group of friends and you wrote about the things that were happening to you, you know, mm-hmm. whether it was some emotional experience in your family or with your girlfriend or whatever. I was always writing with people that I was really comfortable around.
Yeah.
And then coming here and trying to write something with someone, like you said, that maybe you don't even know or you don't have that same relationship with, it is different.
A little awkward. So how does that go, really? You walk in the room and here's this other person, and have you ever had that experience? Michael, this is so-and-so, and we're going to write today.
It maybe hasn't been to that extreme, but I have written with people that I had just met that day. And truthfully, as long as we can find something that we really connect on, I think that it's possible to write good music that's meaningful, even if it's someone you don't know very closely.
How do you come prepared for those co-writes?
I try to listen to the other artist if I get a chance to beforehand mm-hmm. so I know what their interests are. I try to talk to them about what themes they're interested in and, you know, what the purpose of the song will be. Is this something that, for example, that you want to perform? Is this something that you want to pitch?
What are we writing this for?
Yeah. What are we writing this for? What are the themes that are, you know, that really go through your music, and what do we have in common, I guess?
Do you come prepared with some ideas?
I usually do, yeah.
That's the best way to go into it.
Yeah, I have like a voice recorder on my phone. I just am always singing ideas into it.
How long have you been writing songs?
The first song I wrote, I think I was probably in fourth or fifth grade.
Wow.
My friend Elliot and I, when we were that age, we were, for whatever reason, kind of obsessed with bands, with rock bands. And so we made our own band. We were called Imagination. And we painted our own album cover, which
cool.
was like a gypsy looking into a crystal ball. And we recorded a bunch of songs on this old Stella guitar from the 40s that we had laying around my house. And this, you know, Casio keyboard that we also had. It was mostly
fun.
Nonsense, but
yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
That's cool. So that's kind of when that all started. Then were you always writing, you know, during all this time?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Ever since then, I feel like I've been trying to write and trying to get better and write things that mean something to me.
Well, I got to tell you, I've listened to your stuff and I just love it. I hear a lot of Steve Earle influence in there. Is that right?
Yeah.
Am I off?
Definitely. No, I love Steve Earle and Daryl Scott and some of those other writers that are in that genre.
Yeah, it's great. Well, would you mind, let's give our listeners a little reference here. Would you play something for us?
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Yeah. And just give us a little background about the song. And
sure. So I travel a lot for my job. I was driving to Memphis every week for a period of time. And instead of listening to the radio or podcasts or whatever, I would try to write songs. It's about a 3-hour drive. And one day when I was driving back from Memphis to Nashville, I wrote this song. The guitar part is based on a folk tune called Leather Breeches. It's loosely based on it. The lyrics are about what happens if you try to bury your feelings, your emotions. I can bury it in a mountain, or hide it deep in some lost field. I can take it any place you want, and pray the earth on it won't fail. There's so many things that I'd still do, but there's just one thing I can't promise when it's buried and gone. I won't ever turn the stone. I can keep it like a secret, burning deep inside my breast. Never more than one small word from leaving on my breath. There's so many things that I still do, but there's just one line I can't cross. You can say it's gone, but it still lingers in my bones. Swear I don't believe it, and try to turn this light of truth, and put my feelings on an altar, and make my sacrifice to you. There's so many things that I'd still do, but there's just one thing I can't promise. You can say it's gone, but I won't ever turn the stone.
That's great. That's Michael Hinckley. You're listening to Everything Creative on the Mormon Channel. We're here in Nashville. Michael, you said you wrote that song in the car.
I did, yes.
Lyrics? Do you keep a little...
I just sang them into my phone, I guess.
So you're just driving, you're just thinking lyrics. Do you hear the melody at the same time?
Definitely. I think I just got lucky with this. It doesn't always work out this way, but I had the guitar part in my mind as well, and I had an idea of what I thought it was going to sound like. And once I actually got a chance to sit down with the guitar, it just came out just like I wanted it to.
Wow, that's great. Couldn't wait to get to your guitar and pick it up and put it all together.
Definitely.
So what about your songwriting process? How does that normally work for you? How does it start? I know it's different for everybody.
Yeah, I get a lot of my ideas from reading. Like the main line in that song, Turn the Stone, comes from another song. And I just thought it always sounded really cool, so I wanted to write a song around it. And for some reason on that drive back from Memphis, it just that idea of you know, burying emotions and turning the stone to let it out or whatever just came to my mind. Usually, I mean, that song, it just all came out at once.
Right.
A lot of times when I write, though, I like to sit down with a pad of paper, and I like to say that I overwrite the song. I write 10 verses if I think it's going to be, you know, 3 verses, and just try to capture all the different possibilities with what the theme of the song is.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And you've got your guitar in your hand, you're writing it together, music and lyrics together?
It just depends. Sometimes just lyrics, sometimes I have the guitar with me.
They come all different ways. Do you feel differently about those songs, that like the one in the car that kind of just writes itself and comes easily, than those that you've had to kind of pore over? And
I get nervous about the ones that I think come easily, because I think I'm less likely to change them, and maybe they have like a big flaw in the song that I don't see, but I think oh, that came out so easy, it has to feel right, you know. Sometimes I take those songs, like this song, I sent it to a bunch of my songwriter friends, and I said, you know, I really like this, but if you could give me some input and see what you all think and if it all makes sense.
And what did you hear back?
Some people really liked it. Some people thought it was whatever, but, you know, it was good. It was good feedback, and I made some adjustments based on that. So
yeah, it's a great song. Those are fun when they just kind of come easy.
Yeah, they are.
Do you feel like there's things that you can do that will put you in more of a creative space and open you up to being able to write certain activities? I know sometimes if you do something that's kind of mindless, it's better than sitting there, you know, trying so hard. Mm-hmm. Or some people get great ideas in the shower, or like you said, driving.
Yeah, I definitely sing in the shower. I don't know if my neighbors appreciate it, or my wife for that matter. But I think because I've been trying to force it to happen while I'm driving, I think that's when it happens the most right now, actually, is while I'm driving.
So has it helped you to be here in Nashville? Has it kind of, you know, ignited this little spark or kept that going more because there's so much music here?
It has. I think one thing that's great about coming to Nashville is that once you get here, you realize how good some songwriters are.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps put things in perspective and helps you see your strengths and weaknesses better when you're, I don't want to say comparing yourself necessarily, because you need to be confident about who you are and not always compare yourself to others, but it's good to kind of know how good other people are.
Right. So do you, you know, when you first got here, were you just going out and seeing a lot of music? Do you still continue to do that?
I do. I go to a lot of shows at there's a few different songwriter clubs here in Nashville. There's the Bluebird Cafe, of mm-hmm. course. There's the Commodore. There's just a whole list of places that have, you know, on any given night you could go see 20 songwriters, and they're all going to play something different. And I like that. It gives me a lot of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
And it's inspiring. You kind of come away from there thinking, yeah, that's what I want to do, or I want to write a song that good, you know? I mean,
absolutely.
Sometimes I'll come home and think, well, I'm never going to try again because you've just seen something so incredible that, you know?
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's pretty inspiring.
Yeah. It is. It definitely is. I like it. One other great thing here about Nashville is people are really positive, I would say. People are really, you know, I see a lot of veteran writers encouraging new writers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just a great environment where people are going to encourage your work, and that's been helpful for me too.
Yeah, and I think it's very, you feel really supported and accepted when you're playing, for the most part, especially places where that's why people come, like the Bluebird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the same amount of respect, you know, shown to different levels of songwriters who are just starting out and those who've really been successful.
Definitely, definitely. People here are great. I've noticed in other places where I've lived, if you say, you know, I'm a songwriter, you don't always get the best reaction. You know, people kind of question you. But here, it's one of the most respected things you can be, I think.
Yeah. So what is kind of your goal or your wish for your music?
That's a good question. I think that my main goal is to make music that I'm really satisfied with. I know a lot of people have commercial goals, especially mm-hmm. in a city like Nashville, where the country music business is really based here.
Yeah.
I want to make music that other musicians want to listen to. I mean, if I have other casual fans, casual music listeners that like it too, that's fantastic. But I want to make music that people who write lyrics like, and the people who play music like.
Yeah. Do you play with a band, or is there a regular group that you play with while you're here, or certain people that you tend to write and play and perform with, or are you pretty much solo?
I do. There are a few people here I write with, and it's so far it's been really great. I've been really happy with the songs we've been writing. One of them is Joseph Moore. He's a great singer here.
It's a great voice.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Joseph. Mm-hmm. He's fantastic. He and I just finished a song just recently that we're really happy with. I haven't really been playing with a group here much, but I have in my past.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
So Engines of Commotion.
Yes.
Right. Tell me about how that came together and who the members are in that group.
Okay. Engines of Commotion is a folk group. Like maybe you said earlier, a little influenced by some Steve Earle kind of stuff, some, you know, a lot of Americana roots rock yeah. kind of music. We're an acoustic foursome. Played, we met playing at BYU in the folk dance ensemble, and we all got along really well and just decided that we wanted to play our own tunes and just see what we could do with it.
So you wrote some of the tunes that you play?
That's correct.
Okay, and are those co-writes, or are you the main writer?
On the songs that I wrote for Engines of Commotion, I wrote one instrumental piece that we did, and then the other two were co-writes.
Okay. So talk about Telluride. That's fun.
Telluride is fun. So in 2010, we were in the Telluride band competition.
Which is kind of a thing that you submit your
That's
music
correct.
And they listen to it and choose how many bands to compete. Or is it sort of, do you sign up when you get there? I don't know how that one works.
You know, honestly, I did not sign us up. I wish I could tell
up.
You. I just knew we were playing. So, but either way, we went. There's two rounds in the competition. And all the groups that play are fabulous.
Yeah.
We made it through the first round, and in the second round you play on the main stage at Telluride, which is just fantastic. And we ended up getting second place, and it was an amazing experience just to be on a stage like that. That's so many of my heroes have played
yeah,
on.
Yeah, where all those greats play all the time. Yeah, that's cool. What a great honor.
Definitely.
So are you currently playing with that band?
Yeah. We do get together from time to time. We all, after school, we all had different professional interests outside of music.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, our banjo player, is a professional photographer in New York. And his wife, Deborah, is our fiddler, so she's obviously there with him. Robbie Sorensen is our mandolin player. And he is in medical school in Maryland. And I'm here in Nashville.
Wow. So, yeah, when you can get together, that's probably really fun.
It is, yeah. We just got together a couple months ago in New York and played a little bit, and it was a good time.
Well, Michael Hinckley, we'd love to hear another song. Have you got something else for us?
I do. This is a song that I wrote with Joseph Moore, like we were just talking about. This song is called Old Photograph, and this is one where I had written a few verses of the song and needed some help kind of editing that and knowing what to keep, what to get rid of, and then we ended up writing some more some more lyrics and adding to it. It ended up just, we're really happy with it, so I'll
Great.
Play it.
Thank you.
Some days I feel like an old photograph. Colors have faded and I'm frozen in the past. I feel taken out of the book and lost in the stack. I'm hidden from the memories that you meant to last. And now it's 10 years later, everyone in my life knows. It's the first secret share when someone new gets close. About how I'll never find another lover like you, but I still pray and I hope. And I know that you treated me bad, but you were better than most. And some days I feel like our old song. The melody is sweet,
but it always plays too long. And I don't know if I love you more now or then. So I press rewind and play it all back again. And now it's 10 years later, everyone in my life knows. It's the first secret shared when someone new gets close. About how I'll never find another lover like you, but I still pray and I hope. I know that you treated me bad, but you were better than most. And I heard my picture's been replaced, and now you sing a different tune. But all that can erase the thoughts I have of you. Some days my heart's like a hollow drum. The beat goes on, but the show's already done. And I'm center stage with a spotlight on me, but I am not the one. The star's flown and the curtain's already drawn. Now it's 10 years later, everyone in my life knows. It's the first secret share when someone new gets close. About how I used to make you feel so alive, but now I'm just your ghost. And I know that you treated me bad, but you were better than most. Some days I feel like an old photograph.
That's so great. So many things are working right in that song. It's wonderful.
Oh, thanks.
Great metaphors.
Thank you.
So how much of that had you already written?
I had written a couple of the verses, the first couple, and I had done a little bit of work on the chorus. So after we got together, we did the last verse and the bridge and kind of, I think, fixed a few things in the chorus.
Yeah, because it sounds so consistent, you know. Maybe sometimes when you think that someone has written already a verse or two, that third one, you bring somebody else in and it might change.
It's definitely a challenge. I think we went through probably like 20 verses before we finally settled on one where we thought...
Was it the drum? Last verse?
Yep. Yeah. Where we felt like it still keeps the same kind of imagery, the mm-hmm. same kind of tone that the other verses had. It was a lot of work to get that last verse done, but I am really happy with the way it turned out.
It's a great song. So how do you create that kind of imagery in a song? That's kind of a mystery in a way.
I don't know. It's the magic, I guess, when some sort of image just comes to your mind.
Trying to describe
that. Hopefully you're smart enough to write it down, I guess. I don't think it's really me as much as just, you know, just for whatever reason, I just get lucky sometimes and write down something that sounds good.
That's great. Have you recorded any of these songs? Do you have an album?
I'm currently writing songs. I released an album with Engines of Commotion, like I said, last year. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've just been writing and trying to collaborate with as many people as I can here in Nashville to get material for something new.
So that's what you would eventually like to do?
That's right, yes.
Yeah, that would be great. Your stuff is really, really, I love it.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Making me blush.
Let's talk about being LDS and living in this community and working with songwriters and, you know, playing out. Is it difficult to maintain your values and kind of live your faith? And is that something that you share with a lot of people, or what are your thoughts on that?
You know, for me, I don't think it's difficult because I think it could be challenging at times. I think the important thing is that as a musician, that you know what your values are, what you're willing to do and not do. And I think that we all face that, whatever profession we're in. Mm-hmm. You know, in my job as an auditor, you know, we try to make sure that people act ethically in business. And, you know, that's, as long as you have strong values, I think that hopefully it's not too much of a challenge.
Yeah. Does it come up?
You know, I am surrounded by really great people, and for me, it's not something that really comes up a lot.
Yeah.
I had this music that I had been writing that I didn't really have any lyrics for, and it was something that I kept bringing to the band, Engines of Commotion, and saying, I really want to write this, and it wasn't really going anywhere for a long time. And then Robbie, the mandolin player, one day said to me, you know, I have something I want to write this song about. He said, I want to write a song for my brother. And the song is basically about the challenges we face when people that we love and care about believe or different things in us. You know, for example, if someone decides not to, you know, have faith in the church. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, other people who are, people who join our church probably face the same kind of thing from their families, you know, if they leave another church and come to our families. And we just wanted to write a story that was about how difficult that is in a really loving relationship, I guess, if that makes sense. How hard it can be when someone you care about so much is doing something that is not what you believe.
Yeah. So what is that song?
It's called Someday.
Are you going to play that for us?
Sure.
We'd love it.
I told my brother I was gonna fight my war. I was tired of pretending there was nothing in my life worth fighting for. I nodded slowly so he understood. I left him all alone before he could say anything. I put my soul to paper early in the morning. I was on the line of right and wrong, but I hoped I could be born again. I didn't pack my bags, well, I knew that I would leave. I would need my memory to live on in my things. Oh, no. I left my letter on my parents' bedroom door. Like their wicked Martin Luther, my conscience could not be ignored. Dad didn't read a word before he tore the letter down. And everybody knew the secret that I was trying to get out. And I tried to speak and no one understood. And my brother looked at me like all my words were blood. And with every scarlet sentence, my life faded even more. And when I left, they saw my spirit rise and my body went through the door. Oh no. Oh no. Till I do. I lay awake my first nights on my own, lonely for the calls I thought I'd get from home.
It's great, Michael Hinckley. Thank you. When you talk about wanting to be a songwriter, right? What is it that you love about your influences, those people like Daryl Scott and Steve Earle? What to you makes a great song? Why are you drawn to that kind of music?
I think the thing I like about their music is that they're not afraid to write about things that might be uncomfortable, but they're the things that we all feel and that we all go through. For example, the song Someday that I just played mm-hmm. is about a situation that I think is really difficult. But at the same time, it's something that, you know, that I think people can relate to. And that's something that I like about their music. I feel like they write about the things that happen in their lives
yeah.
instead of sitting down and trying to say, you know, let's write a cool song about, you know, trucks or something. I don't know,
right.
whatever people write about.
Something that just really is more meaningful and personal.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that I'm wanting to listen to that song again because next time I'm going to get something else out of it and maybe, you know, get a little bit deeper into it. And because it's kind of, there's certain spots that are kind of heady and, you know.
Yeah, we really tried to load that one with a lot of symbols and imagery
uh-huh.
for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It's great. What words of advice or what would you say to somebody who is maybe thinking that they're going to pack it up and move to Nashville and try their hand at writing and playing here?
I would say, first, know what you want to do. You know, make sure that you have a style that is you. otherwise, I think something I see a lot of people do is they get here, they know they want to be in the music business, they know they want to write, but because they don't know what style they want to do or what kind of songs they actually want to write, they end up kind of floundering around for a while until they can grab onto something they really like.
Mm.
I mean, you have to do that a little bit because you have to know what you want to...
And how to develop your style and decide who you really are.
Absolutely. I mean, you do have to experiment a little, of course. But I would just say, you know what, try to have a good idea of what you want to do. And I think that it'll help you get things moving a little faster.
Yeah.
Because you'll be able to connect with other people who have that same goal. And
right.
they'll be able to help you out. I mean, the song I just played is long. It's like maybe 5 minutes long, which, I mean, at least for, you know... Here in Nashville, we're in radio single country, so songs
mm-hmm.
are 3 minutes, you know, maybe.
True.
But even for that song, Robbie and I probably wrote, you know, 10 to 20 pages of lyrics just to make sure that we got to what was right. And so I would just say, you know, yeah, write a lot. Write as much as you can and experiment and have fun with it and listen to the song, what it has to tell you. You're the one writing the lyrics, but same time, you have to listen to what that message is and make sure that you're writing the right lyrics.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because a lot of people think, well, Nashville, Tennessee, and it's country music, and there's just this certain type of song that everyone writes here, but it's not necessarily true. There's lots of different kind of music that happens here, and a lot of people writing for different reasons. Not everyone's working for that 3-minute hit.
That's right. You know? That's definitely true.
And there's people here that appreciate different types and different styles of music.
Absolutely. I've run into every kind of musician here, Celtic musicians or musicians who specialize in contra dance or barbershop. And it's one of the cool things about Nashville is you have an unlimited number of musicians at your disposal to to teach you and to inspire you and in any kind of style. And I think it's great that, you know, the people who are in one style don't disrespect the people in another style. Yeah. Everyone really works together here.
Have you ever written any more gospel-oriented songs or, you know, songs that talk about your faith? Have you ever gone down that road?
I don't necessarily write hymns.
Right.
But I do try to make sure that all the music I write is something that I would feel comfortable if my mom listened to. That's kind of a general rule I have. I try to always make sure my music is clean, you know, no profane language or anything like that, and that it has a message that people can connect to and that hopefully it uplifts them in some way. Yeah. Or at least, you know, makes some emotion that they feel come out and lets them, whether they need to heal, whether they need to feel or be happy, whatever it is.
Well, that's definitely what music does, you know, for people. It's just really sometimes brings emotions to the surface that you didn't even know were there, you know, and especially your music and maybe just a few words might set something off in someone that's listening and bring them to a realization or just bring some emotion. What do you hope to leave people with your music or when you're gone and here's Michael Hinckley and the music that he left us and the songs that he left? What do you hope that the feeling is from that?
Sometimes when I listen to songs that I really like, I get this feeling of, how did that person know what I was really thinking? You know, or how did they know what that's like to feel that way? Or, you know, how were they brave enough to say what they really felt in that situation? And I hope that when people listen to my music, that it's something they connect with and they can say, I feel like what he says, you know, is what I think or what I feel.
Really nailed it. That someone else has been there and felt that same thing.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Well, do you have something else you'd like to play for us? We'd love it.
Sure. So this is probably the closest thing to a country song I have.
Okay.
So this is a song that's called Castle Rock. This is another song that I wrote in one sitting. I was at BYU, and I had one of my friends is from Washington, D.C., and her little sister from high school came out to visit her. And they were going to go up to Park City and have this party, you know, put on high heels or whatever, and have this glamorous night. And they called me maybe a couple hours into their night, and they were just crying and terrified. And they said, we're totally lost. We somehow drove past Park City. We're in this town called Castle Rock. We just have no idea where we are. And so, you know, I had them tell me what road they were on, and we kind of navigated them using Google Maps or whatever to get back to the interstate,
wow,
to get back to town. And I just thought it was really funny, and I had this guitar lick that I had been working with for a while, and for some reason I just said, I'm going to write them a song about this experience in Castle Rock. And so I tried to kind of write it as like sort of a coming-of-age song since her little sister was coming out to visit her, and they went to Castle Rock. So
that's great.
Here it is. She's trying to get away from her big city life. She's gonna move out west and get under a brand new sky and take a couple trips
so she doesn't wonder what would have happened if, yeah, she never would have left. 'Take me, oh yeah, to Castle Rock, 'cause I'm already there on my next thought. Well, I'm just trying to take some time for me to find out who I am. She bought some black sunglasses when she first got into town. Gonna tell her big sister that she's not a girl anymore. No more running around town chasing boys down, not now anyway. It's time to take a break. Take me, oh yeah, to Castle Rock, 'cause I'm already there on my next thought. I'm just trying to take some time for me to find out who I am. But with only just a week to get away, she wonders if her life can really change. Her sister says a week will be just fine, 'cause 7 days can be enough if you do the things that change your life. Take me, oh yeah, to Castle Rock, 'cause I'm already there on my next thought. I'm just trying to take some time for me to find out who I am. She got back to the city and she never settled down. And when she saw herself, she saw herself way back in that small town. Called up her sister, she said, I think I'm coming soon. And can I stay at your place while you help me find a room?
That's great. That's Michael Hinckley. We're here in Nashville and you're listening to Everything Creative on the Mormon Channel. I love hearing the backstory to that song, because I actually listened to that song and I wouldn't know that's what it's about. You know, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it was a fun night.
So you're writing songs from other people's experiences. I mean, there's so many things you can write songs about. It doesn't always have to be, you know, some deep thing that's in your heart.
That's true. I think a lot of the really talented songwriters here in Nashville and everywhere have the ability to
sense
what other people are going through and feeling. It's kind of like the song Killing Me Softly, the Roberta Flack song, that, you know, she went to the concert and felt like the person had, you know, read her whole life and had written it in a song.
Yeah, and that's when you just really feel that connection and fall in love with music, is when you have that experience.
Definitely.
Well, thank you, Michael, for being with us here today. Just as we close here, Michael, would you mind just sharing with us some of your thoughts about the gospel and its influence in your life?
Absolutely. I feel extremely blessed to have a belief in Jesus Christ. I feel like that belief has allowed me to grow up in a great family that loved me and that taught me good things. It's allowed me to marry a fantastic wife who has a strong testimony of the gospel. And I think that those two things bless me more than anything else I could ever ask for in my life. It's also helped me realize that we're all given talents, and that whether we do them as a hobby or professionally or whatever, we have the responsibility to develop them and to try to improve the world around us and make it more beautiful.
Thank you for that. Thank you for taking time out of your day to come and be with us and share your awesome music. And best of luck to you.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. It's been really nice to chat with you today.
We can't wait to hear that album. This is Everything Creative. I'm Nancy Hansen for The Mormon Channel, a program of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. To see pictures of today's episode, visit our website at mormonchannel.org.